Welcome to episode 4 of the Vinton County Red Zone Podcast, your one-stop destination for all things Vinton County Vikings football. Sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. Let's get this show rocking with your co-host, David Lugs Harold, and the Sheldon Cooper of Vinton County football knowledge. He's not crazy, his mother had him tested, Nathan Lamb.
So, in other words, I'm a genius.
Yes. Yeah. You are a football genius.
You know, my wife thinks I'm a genius because I know everything. She always says how smart I am.
Do we need to get her on the episode to confirm that?
Nah, just take my word for it. All right. Okay. So here we go.
Okay.
Episode 4. Another tough one Friday night.
Another tough one, man.
We will start with the Fairfield Union Falcon review. We'll just go ahead and do what we always do, and you can kind of give some stats, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Vinton County hosted Fairfield at home, our second home game in a row for the year. Lost the game 31-21. Team stats, they were 66 rushing attempts for 422 yards. To our 12 attempts, 131 yards rushing. They ended up with 502 total yards of offense to our 316 total yards of offense. Time of possession was one of the big keys of the game in this one. They had 36 minutes, 29 seconds of time of possession to our 11 minutes and 31 time of possession. The biggest key to that time of possession is we only had the ball a minute and 5 seconds in the fourth quarter. Big key to that game, because obviously we were making a comeback and we just couldn't get the ball back on offense to make that run. But it was 17-14 with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. We had the ball. We were getting ready to actually go down and had a chance to take the lead, I think. And I think we had a fumble, gave the ball back to them, and they went down and scored.
Yeah. On a completed pass.
Yeah, yeah. And kind of a like I said, it was a wild game to watch. I mean, we say that every week, you know, that these games are kind of crazy. But
they're entertaining for sure.
Yeah, they're very entertaining games. I mean, we're getting yardage. We're getting points on the board, which last year I think we only put up like 14 points at this point in the season. So, I mean, we're definitely moving the ball and putting points up on the board. So, I mean, we're getting there. You know, we're getting there. They had three players over 100 yards rushing. Tyler Wolf. Came in the second half. Didn't have a carry in the first half, by the way. Comes in the second half, gets 16 rushing attempts for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. Backup running back just came in the second half and just had a phenomenal day against us. They also had, I think his number was 44. I can't remember his name. He had like 135 yards rushing, I think, in the game against us throughout the whole game. So they did a really good job rushing the ball, which, I mean, we kind of knew that was their forte. We knew they were going to be a good rushing team. Big boys in the trenches, you know, much, much bigger kids than I think we had on the field. So, Vinton County stats for the game. Naylon Yates, 7 rushing attempts, 70 yards. 17 of 30 attempts for 185 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. Actually had 2 interceptions in this game. His first 2 interceptions of the season, by the way. We may have jinxed him on that. I think we talked about
you
that.
You did. I didn't. You did.
I might have to put that one on my shoulder. So, yeah, I apologize for that, Naylon. Hunter Nichols, 5 rushes, 62 yards, had a 68-yard touchdown run in the third quarter that really big run, got us back in the game. I mean, really kind of kept making the game close for us. He had 3 receptions for 12 yards, 6.5 tackles in the game. I think he was third in the game in tackles for us on defense. Had a really good broken-up pass one time in the game, too. Caleb Montgomery, 5 receptions, 31 yards, 1 touchdown. Caleb led the team on defense with 8.5 tackles in the game. Had a really good game defensively. Nevin Yates, 7 tackles in the game. Of course, this was Nevin's first game back. He hurt his hand there, I think, a couple weeks ago. Didn't play last week. So, I mean, good job. They primarily kept him on defense, you know, which we kind of figured that's what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But Seven tackles is pretty good for your first day back.
He had some nice tackles.
Yeah, and then Brandon Cass doing it. So mm-hmm.
One-handed.
Freshman wide receiver Jaden Spires really had a really, really good day, I thought. Two receptions, 57 yards, including a 47-yard touchdown pass. That was just a beautiful catch, beautiful run, great play for him. Had three returns for 68 yards, along with 42. So, I mean, as a freshman, he's really starting to get involved in the offense. He's really starting to show that talent that he's going to, by the time he's a senior, he's just going to be amazing. But
yeah.
Really kind of looking, you know, to getting a little bit of special teams, getting that wide receiver, getting comfortable there too. Kaysen Collins, junior defensive tackle. And I know we're kind of hard on the defense right now, which is probably not going to get a lot easier this week for him. But, you know, as a defensive tackle, your primary goal is to plug holes and take on defenders. Your job's really not to tackle people. He ended up with seven tackles in the game. That is a season high. Second on the team in tackles. Kaysen Collins, a defensive tackle, had a really good day for us too. That's pretty much the primary stats that I got for this week's game. I don't know, man, you were there. You got to watch it. What'd you think of the game?
Well, Lugs, let me start out. And I did get to watch the entire game, which took a while, man. This offense we got, it's taken a while to finish these games. I remember getting out of I remember pulling out of the high school, you know, when I was in school at like 9:10, you know, we're done. Yep. It's halftime at 9:10 now.
Yep.
It was entertaining to watch. The crowd was into the game. I was right there in the middle of it, you know, stomping yep. your feet, screaming and yelling as hard as you can, actually feeling like, you know, you're a part of the play on the field, like, you know, you've got something. It's like the 12th man or the 6th man in basketball, you know. It does affect – when you've got 2,000 people sitting in these huge bleachers and you're staring right at it over on the Fairfield Union side and they're stomping their feet and screaming, you know, as loud as they can, it does have an effect, and it does get the kids up. It does get them excited. When they run off the field and they see people, you know, screaming and yelling, it's awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool.
And, you know, it's been a while since we've had that kind of atmosphere at a football game at home. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. It was nice to see, and I'm sure it was awesome for the players on the field at the same time. Now, with that said, what I think about the game is like we said last week, we kind of felt like Fairfield was the best team that we were going to see to this point in the season.
Yeah.
And I think they were. They had a lot of size, like you said. We, you know, I got there early. Was watching warm-ups. Was actually watching them warm up on the north end of the field. I was standing right there on the fence, and I was watching them warm up. And man, these guys they had some pretty big players on their team. Pretty athletic players too. Not
yeah.
just, you know, they had big bruisers obviously, but they also had what I like to call basketball athletes. I mean, they had some tall, lanky kids that could run, and
yeah,
so
exactly
really.
Right.
All around, I mean, they had everything they needed. Mm-hmm. And they, to a certain extent, they used it and put it on display. But we kind of felt like we were going to give up. We said we were going to give up points, but we also said we were going to score some points, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, it was entertaining. It was entertaining to watch. A couple things go a little bit different here and there, you know, during the game, and the outcome could have been a little bit different. I know before the half, when they scored that last touchdown to go up 17-7, it was like, ah, you know, like it just a kick in the gut, you know.
Yep.
We get the ball back, drive to midfield, and then we have the turnover at midfield to kind of cut any chance we had of scoring there to make it, you know, close going into halftime, which 10 points is not that. Especially when you got a team that can score in 15 seconds.
Yeah, you don't feel like
not
you're out
that
of
bit.
It.
No, by no means. And now it's not over. It's definitely not over. It wasn't over when we were down 17-7 at halftime, and it wasn't over when we were down 31-14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think we were all looking at that at halftime too. Even at halftime, I think we're all sitting there thinking, "Okay, we got a shot."
Yeah, there was a lot of things that you could look back and say, "Man, if that would have happened different, or this would have happened different," you know. It would have been a different outcome, could have been a different outcome. But it was a hard-fought game, a lot of excitement. For the first time, I felt like, you know, the players showed some more emotion, the kind of emotion that I expect to see from, you know, from my football team. I want them to be as emotional as they can be. But we saw that. We saw some emotion from the crowd. We saw emotion from the coaches. We saw a lot of emotion from the Fairfield Union coaching staff a couple times.
At halftime especially. especially right at the end of halftime.
At halftime, right, you know, it's either go to the locker room or go to your car. Mm-hmm. I believe that was what the head referee mouthed to the coach.
I'll say this much about the scenario.
We can end at that.
We got to witness the mastery and wizardry of Jeff Downs on this scenario. I mean, we really did. I have never in my life, and I've seen a lot of football in my time, seen a kid ejected, undress on the sidelines, and a coach go have a discussion with the referees for, was it 10 minutes? It was easily 10 minutes.
Probably longer than that.
And that kid puts his clothes back on and goes back into the game after being ejected. And that is one heck of a coach that could talk a referee in to letting a kid come back out after they have already normally, whether they're right or wrong, that kid's gone once he's gone.
Whatever they decide is it.
Somehow, Coach Downs got him back on the field. And great that he did it. But, I mean, they made the right call. I mean, we've seen the play. We know what happened. I don't understand how a Fairfield kid didn't get ejected as well, though. I'm not saying we were innocent. I'm just saying that it should have went both ways. Two kids should have been punished and only one.
I said at halftime, somebody, I swear on the good book here, I said before halftime that somebody is getting kicked out of this game before the night's over with. I swear to you that I said that.
Yeah.
You can ask the people I was with.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just leading to that point. You could tell that it's a tight game. The emotions are high. Fairfield Union probably thinks, hey, these guys are terrible. What are they doing within 10 points of us?
Yep.
You know, they were kind of feeling the heat a little bit. We're like, I don't know. We got a couple, not that they think ahead, but we got a couple really tough weeks coming up. And it's like we got a chance here, so we need to do what we can do. And with the last play, I felt like this is just me. I felt like them going for it before half was a little bit disrespectful, and I think some of the players felt that way too, and I think it boiled over into the second half, and that's what you get. I mean, that's...
And let's be honest, too, and even with those two situations that happened, that referee, and normally I'm the last person to throw a conspiracy onto the referees, that was a bad refereed game from the beginning to the end, I thought. And more so for Fairfield, I'll be honest with you. I thought some of their plays were not interference plays. I've never seen three interference plays in a game called, and I think they had three or four at least, I think.
I think so.
And one of them was a great pick, I'll be honest with you. It was a great play by that guy. I didn't feel like it was an interception, and they called it. And it went that way the whole night long. Those guys were throwing flags. I don't like it when referees dictate games. I don't like it when a flag dictates a play.
Yeah.
I want the players to dictate the outcome of a game, not a referee. And the referees just need to maintain and keep composure. And they threw a lot more flags than I thought were necessary, and they didn't keep composure of either side. You know, so in the end, it boiled over, like you said, into what ended up happening.
Okay, so 31-21 loss to Fairfield. Dropped 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Fairfield moves to 2-1.
Yep.
That's the most points they've scored this year. We kind of figured they would score some because they haven't really. And that's another thing.
It has been.
And you talk about 66 attempts, 422 yards rushing.
Yeah.
I just did a little bit of math here, which I'm probably wrong. But that's like 6-point-something yards a carry.
Yes.
And it kind of felt that way. It felt like every time they touched the ball, they were 5 yards up the field.
Yeah.
Even falling forward, I mean, it was just really difficult to stop that.
Yeah.
To me, it was kind of like it's like the spread version of the I formation.
Yeah.
You know, you got people spread out. You got them in space. Your running back's got a full head of steam when he gets the ball. And so it's really easy for him to just run behind that big, huge number 72 and fall forward for 5 yards.
Oh, yeah, Woodside's a
difficult
player. Yeah, he was a good player.
I swear to you, I watched him. And I don't know if this is a penalty or not, Lugs. Maybe you can elaborate more on this. But I watched him pick up, and I don't know who it was. It was one of our defensive linemen. I watched him pick him up by the chest, pick him up in the air, and block two other boys with him.
Lock him
down the field.
Just, I didn't see it, but I
he blocked three
it.
People
yeah.
with one person. Like, you know, in like zombie movies when you got a dead zombie and you hold him up and people shooting at you or whatever.
He is the best player of that position and size will face all year. I mean, he's a D1 athlete probably, to be honest with you. He's a D1 athlete.
And it's not that there's not big kids on the field, because we've got some big kids on the field. They had some other big kids, but this guy was just –
He looked the part.
He looked like
great player. So.
He looked like he could have blocked for the 2004 version of the Northwest Indians, the team that destroyed us in the playoffs. Well, and to give them credit, I know Fairfield hasn't scored a lot of points this year, but to give them some sort of credit here, Piketon put 36 up on us. Mm-hmm. 36-26 last week. Mm-hmm. They played Valley last Friday, beating 35-7. Okay. All right, and then you look at Unieta, the other game. Mm-hmm. Unieta, 34-7. Mm-hmm. Week two, they put 42 up on McLean, and that was in Greenfield.
Yeah.
And then last week against Waverly, they lose. They get stomped.
Which is an amazing team, by the way. Waverly is.
And I told you this, I told Travis this before the season, that Waverly was going to be good, and I'm right. I told you they're going to go 9-1, and I really think they're in the SOC. They're in the same division as Wheelersburg, and we all know how good Wheelersburg is.
Yeah.
I think Waverly loses to Wheelersburg, but I think they beat every other team on their schedule. I think they go 9-1. I said that after week one, and you guys called me dumb, and I'm right. I'm right. So. With that said,
yes,
Unieta was up 7-0 on Waverly. They had not allowed a point all year. Waverly had not allowed a point all season. They beat Piketon in week one, 39-0. Zane Trace in week two, 42-0. And then Unieta comes in week three. Well, they went there in week three and win 33-13. But they scored twice on a team that had not given up any points at all. And we've seen – we saw Piketon's offense, and you know, Zane Trace is a team that lost a lot from the year before, but they won the league, the SVC last year, so, you know, they probably have a little bit of talent. So to hold them to 0-2, that's – well, they should have beat Logan Elm in week one. We talked about that, I think, on the second episode. So regardless, anyways, I'm just trying to stick up for the defense a little bit here. I know we've got to call it like it is, but at the same time, they have played two teams out of the three that I think are going to put up a lot of points this year, a lot of points, and Fairfield might too. You don't know how they're going to be in league play. So
and you know, that's a very, very good point, because before the season started, we're like, hey, we can win two out of three games out of the first three. You know, we didn't think Unieta was going to be that good. We didn't think Piketon was going to be that good,
and they are.
Yeah, and we thought Fairfield was beatable, and then all of a sudden, here comes Fairfield, and they're hanging with Johnstown Johnnies and Unioda's beating teams that we never thought they'd beat. Piketon's putting up 30 points a game, you know? So, I mean,
Well, and let's just look at it here, Lugs. Let's look at this. Because I was really excited about a game last Friday over in just past Londonderry at Southeastern. Southeastern, you know who they played last week?
Who'd they play?
They played Eastern Pike.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
The two teams that we scrimmaged in the preseason.
That were scoring 60 points a game in week one, by the way.
Met each other last week.
Ooh.
Now, I work with quite a few people that went to Southeastern. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling them the whole time, you know, like, hey, Eastern's good. But I've seen them both. I've watched film on both. Eastern's good. I told them that it was going to be a close game. Mm-hmm. I, you know, obviously – looking at the points scored, which I know you can't really go off of scrimmages. Mm-hmm. We did better against Southeastern on offense than we did against Eastern Pike. But I think we did better defensively against Eastern Pike than we did against Southeastern.
Yep.
Even though they only scored 6 points, they did move the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. And I told him it was going to be an awesome game to watch. And Southeastern ended up winning 28-20, I think, was the final. Southeastern won. So they are 3-0. For the first time in, like, 2 million years. Like, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Wow.
And Eastern Brown, to get back to my original point, not Eastern Brown, Eastern Pike. We have played Eastern, counting the two scrimmages, Eastern, Pike, Southeastern, Unieta, Piketon, Fairfield Union. Eastern Pike's 2-1. Southeastern's 3-0. Unigato's 2-1. Piketon's 2-1. Fairfield Union's 2-1. We've not played a cupcake yet.
Yeah.
Regardless of how big schools are or what they did the last 10 years, we have played five. We've played five very competitive football teams.
Yes.
Teams that could win their leagues.
Yep.
All right, we've got to cut this review up because we have sat here forever. We will be back with, what are we doing next? The TVC review, which we're going to spend about 3 hours on. So we'll be right back here on the podcast. Okay,
does,
so welcome back to the Viking Red Zone podcast brought to you by J&K Contracting with two locations in Jackson and Albany. Their phone numbers are 698-3521 and 286-8936. And let's get right into the TVC review. The week that was in the TVC. Let's just go through the scores here. Obviously, Vitt County falls to Fairfield Union 31-21. River Valley with a huge non-league win to move to 3-0.
3-0.
39-18 over South Point, a game that I don't even think was really that close. Mm-hmm. Meigs beats Logan at home 25-19. Logan scores for the first time this year in a game that came down to the wire.
Yes.
Yep. Wire. Came down to the wire. For those of you who don't know, Meigs with a goal line stand.
Yep.
I think Logan was on the 1 yard line. On third down, I think it was third down and goal from the one, and they hold them on two plays to seal the victory over Logan. It's the first time they've beat Logan in probably 30 years.
Yeah.
So, I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Alexander, in a game that was a lot closer than I kind of anticipated it, with Portsmouth East, they fall 15-8 down in Portsmouth. It was the first road game of the year. I believe Portsmouth East came into the game at 2-0. They moved to 3-0. Alexander falls to 1-2. It was Athens in a game that we really were kind of split on. We didn't really know what to expect over Watkins Memorial, 31-28. I know that game was kind of back and forth. Deadlocked at 28 in the fourth quarter. Athens kicks a field goal with, I think, like 4 or 5 minutes to go. And that's where field goal kickers come into play. Athens wins 31-28. Liberty Center, we nailed this one down. Well, wait. Who did you have?
One of us didn't nail it down.
That's right.
That was my upset pick of the week.
I nailed this one down. Liberty Center, 48. Nelsonville York, 14 in a game that was really not close at all.
No, it was not.
Wellston, again, with a win over Edina, 28-6. A game that, from what I was told, see, my uncle lives in Wellston. I don't know if you know this, but my uncle lives in Wellston. I really feel bad for him. But he's lived there for a long time, and he had a daughter, my cousin, that obviously went to Wellston City Schools. And so he kind of became a Rocket. He went to Vinton County, but he kind of became a Rocket. And so he went to the game. He went to the Edina game last Friday, and on the way home, he stopped in MacArthur because our games last 8,000 times longer than everybody else.
Yep.
He stopped and watched the entire fourth quarter of our game because he wants us to do good, too. He's not, he's not all about the rivalry, but he just roots for them. What was that?
The different software.
Oh, okay.
Freaked me out, too,
though. That was cool.
Yeah, that was different.
Anyways, he gets back, and after the game, I'm talking. Actually, after the game, when you stopped and spoke to me, that's who I was talking to, was my Uncle Rick.
Okay.
And so he tells me, about the Wellston game, about how really they made a lot of mistakes. He said they really made a lot of mistakes, and they could have scored a lot. If they would have played a better sound game, they could have scored a lot more. So, 28-6 over Edina, Wellston moves to 2-1 on the year. That is the league wrap-up. That's it. League goes, 5-2? 4-3? League goes 4-3.
4-3.
River Valley, Meigs, Athens, and Wellston pick up wins. Vinton County, Alexander, and Nelsonville fall.
Okay, let's get into the reviews here. So, now we talked a little bit about Meigs there, by the way, and we have Meigs coming up. Yes. Meg's actually, Cody Barton took a little bit of an injury in this
game.
Yeah,
I heard about that. Yes. What I heard was he broke his leg.
I think it was an ankle twist.
But there's a big difference between an ankle twist and a broken femur.
He actually played the offensive side of the ball for the entire game after he hurt. Not the entire game. He got hurt in the second half, I think. Played the offensive side of the ball for the did pretty well, actually, playing on the offensive side of the ball. And the last drive on defense was out there on defense for the last drive only, is what I was told. And actually, the team kind of rallied behind him, man. Played, like I said, they made a big play at the end of the game, stepped up and won the game.
Okay, so we will have a more of an update on him.
Yes.
In our next show.
Another game, Alexander. I know you know this. I know you. Alexander's one of the teams we toggle back and forth with. I think predictions wise, I've kind of called them as struggling, right? I have kind of said it. I think this shows it. This is a team they should have put up more points than 8 against, right? And 8-15.
Sideville came in 2-0. They're 3-0 now. Portsmouth East. I don't think they're that bad of a team. I mean, they're in the SAC. They're in a small school SAC. They got Green next week. I don't think Green is all that good. They'll probably win that one and move to 4-0.
4-0.
And then they play Valley out of the SAC. That actually probably could be a pretty good game. I know Valley's struggling this year, but you know they got a pretty rich tradition there. So you know they're gonna put up a fight in Northwest, Eastern, Oak Hill. I think it's gonna come down to probably Notre Dame. They're in the same league, Portsmouth, Notre Dame. Just talking about the SAC, the small school SAC. I think it's gonna come down to them and probably Portsmouth East. So I think Portsmouth East is a decent team. Is it a team that Alexander should win? If they want to compete for a TVC championship?
Yeah.
By no means about it. That's exactly what they you have to beat those teams.
Yep.
Especially not dogging on any conference whatsoever, but a good SOC one, or I don't know if it's one or two. I don't know which one's considered the small. But the small school, I mean, you got Portsmouth East, you got Notre Dame, you got Eastern, Eastern Pike. They might win it. You got
they probably will.
You got Green. You know, you got these small schools, and it's kind of like the TBC Hawking. You just automatically think that the bigger school league should beat the smaller school league just because of the numbers difference. Like the TBC Ohio team should be able to beat the champion of the TBC Hawking every year. Would it be every year? Would it happen every year? No. Obviously, you're going to have some years where you got a small school that's just unbelievably good.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that Sideville, Portsmouth East is that team this year. So I really think that, that was a pretty – regardless of what their record winds up being this year, I think that was a tough loss for Alex. And you talk about how our league schedule starts out tough with Megs and Athens.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Alexander. They got Athens, and then they got to go to Wellston, who is surprising and may very well be 3-1, and that'll be their first league game because Wellston's non-league week just happens to be the first week of everybody's league play. So, track here. Athens and Watkins. Athens wins 31-28.
Alden got hurt last week. Obviously, he didn't play in this game. Without him playing, I would have, and I did. I picked Watkins Memorial. You picked Athens.
In a close one. We both said it would be close.
Yeah, we both did say it was going to be close, but I almost kind of thought, well, Alden might end up playing because I knew it was just a head injury. I thought he'd be cleared, but obviously he wasn't. Brandon Sano came in, did awesome for him. Actually kind of stepped up from where he ended last year, which I think shows we knew he didn't take a lot of reps. We knew he was a backup quarterback. He didn't have a lot of reps all year, and he just kind of got thrown into the mix last week. So this week he's obviously got plenty of reps, but 20 of 30, 231 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good against Watkins Memorial, to be honest with you. That's a good day. So he did a pretty good job for him. I think he's showing if this Alden tends to have injury issues and troubles, I think Sano can play well enough to make sure these guys stay in that contention for the TVC.
I agree. I think Athens is a lot – it's going to surprise you. I think Athens is a lot like Vinton County. I really do.
They're probably laughing right now at you if they're listening.
Well, that's
to this.
Fine, and everybody can laugh at me because I will tell you right now that I don't care. the haters are going to hate, mm-hmm. and they're going to look at our 0-3 record and think that we're just the same as we've always been. But I'm telling you right now, we are not bad. We are not bad team.
We are not. We've
and the first team that comes into MacArthur and thinks that we're bad is going to leave hurt. Yeah. They're going to leave smacked in the mouth and with a loss. Mark it down. I'll tell you that right now. So, Megs, you better have your A game when you come in here this Friday.
Anyways.
Okay. What I'm saying is if you look at Athens's schedule so far, they destroyed Warren, and Warren is not very good.
Yeah.
I know they had a big win this week, but they beat probably the worst D7 school in the history of football this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know it was, but I looked at it earlier. Anyways, if you look at what Athens did last week against Watkins – okay, they won 31-28, right?
Yeah, close game.
Scored 31 points. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Well, Watkins scores 28, okay? Now, Athens has one thing that we don't have, and that is the knowledge of how to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know how to win.
Yeah.
You can have all the talent in the world. You know how to win. You're not going to finish games. You're not going to win.
Yep.
Which is, I think, what we need to get over right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get over that hump.
Confidence.
Yeah,
confidence.
Yes, yeah. And Athens, I mean, they just – lost a state title game two, three years ago. I mean, they've got all the confidence in the world.
2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago. Okay. They give up 28 points to Watkins. You look at Watkins' first two games, they scored 6 and they scored 18. So it's a lot really similar to what we've done this year with, you know, speaking in terms of last Friday night with Fairfield Union, a team that didn't score a lot of points. Well, they come in here and they score 31 points. Watkins don't score. They don't score a lot of points. They come into Athens and they score 28 points. So I think the defense, Athens' defense, I think is going to be their biggest issue this year in league play. I think that they're going to give up points. I think they're going to score points, but I think they're going to give them up. And I think Athens is a team that's beatable week in and week out. I said this to my Uncle Rick after the game. I said after 3 weeks, every year I could tell you one of two teams that's going to win this league. Every single year, I could tell you one or two teams that have
yeah.
– the only two teams that can win this league this year are this team and that team. And I can only tell you right now, with 100% certainty, one team that can't win the league.
Yeah.
Alexander
I,
is –
I agree with you.
That's my
Absolutely.
Opinion. Everybody else can win this league. Now, that's going to change next week.
Yeah.
I'll probably drop Nelsonville, York out. Hopefully, I don't have to drop us out. I mean, league play starts, obviously, you know, it gets for real then.
Yeah.
But I just – I'm telling you, man. If I had to rank it myself right now, I would have Megs, Athens, and River Valley at the top, in no order, in no particular order. Those would be the three teams that I think could win this league above everybody else.
Yeah,
but I can't rule out anybody, especially Wellston. Where the heck did they come from?
And I think that's just to prove your point a little bit more. Every one of them teams you're talking about has some kind of an issue, though. You know,
oh yeah,
Athens
without
is probably
doubt.
The least. I mean, you could probably look at Athens and say, okay, there's not many holes here, but
well, they
there's
the
nothing
most
outstanding. Yeah,
they have the most players by far,
most returning trench guys. You know,
they got their entire lines back.
Exactly,
and we know how huge that is based on last week's game.
But you look at Megs; they got issues on defense. You're looking at River Valley. Have they really been tested yet? I don't know if you can really say they've been tested, but they're beating teams. You know, we say this all the time, like they should beat them.
Yes.
You know, they're winning pretty easily to these lower skilled teams, and you know their defense is going to have to come up and be tested here at some point.
Well,
they
they're playing
be,
Nelsonville.
So.
They're playing Nelsonville York next week, and we'll go over
I
that.
I can't wait for our
we'll
picks on
that,
that one.
Oh,
that's
I'll tell you right now who I got.
You might as well save it because you know we're on opposites. I can just tell you that.
The game's in Bidwell. Just saying.
We're on opposites. We're just the same
right.
with that. We know.
Okay.
We know what's happening there. We'll get there. We'll get there Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday
we
we'll be there.
We will get there.
But yeah, so you know. Yeah, all these teams have issues, so I agree exactly with what you're saying, though. It could be anybody in the TVC right now. It's kind of got a shot at it. Everybody's 0-0 in the TVC. Nobody's won a game yet, so,
right.
you know, any team can step up and surprise. I'll be honest with you, I think it still looks like Athens. I think after Athens, you're still
Megs.
I'm going to say River Valley
River
just
Valley.
Over Megs because I see more holes in Megs. Cody's
okay,
a great player, but he's not putting up the numbers he did last year, and I believe I called that. And I think he's right around 500 yards passing in three games, which isn't bad.
No, not
but,
bad at all.
But, you know, I just don't think he's got the offense that they had last year.
So if you think River Valley could finish second, if you've got them behind Megs right now.
I had them dead last at the beginning,
yeah,
if
I
you
know
remember.
You did.
Yes.
I know.
I was hating on them.
So
I've still got Nelsonville third.
How do you pick Nelsonville over River Valley then?
Well, we'll find out this week. If you want to look at just actual players – There are four players on Nelsonville that are the best players in that game next week. Now, again, we'll probably get more into that later. I just look at the talent. And, again, Alex Mott had a big day. Liberty, I can't sit here and honestly say, do I know how good Liberty Center is? No, I know they're a great team.
Well, they probably win the SEC, Lugs. They're that good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that much about them. So everybody wins the SEC if you watch ESPN. But, you know, I just can't say, you know, Nelsonville losing to these guys as bad as they did makes them a bad team. I mean, Mountain had 137 yards rushing, a couple touchdowns, I think.
Well, yeah.
157 yards rushing, actually. Did a great job. They've still got a good offense. I don't know how they only put up 13 points. I don't know what happened in the game. But
well, and I know I've been hard on the Buckeyes.
Yes.
And I do want to point this out.
Maybe just deserved, too. But
well, we'll find that out. Mm-hmm. But I do want to point out, I do want to give them some credit. They beat Trimble in week one, 27-7. The Trimble's 2-1. Mm-hmm. They lost to Newark Catholic by 20. They're 3-0.
Which we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. But they're 3-0.
Yeah.
They lost to Liberty Center last week. They're 3-0.
Yes.
Now, the only knock on – and those schools are always good, always good. But the only knock that I can give them is they're a D7 and two D6s. So they're smaller schools. But they're good. Yeah. I'm not saying anything because size, you know, a lot of times doesn't really have – if you're a perennial team like Trimble could play in the TVC Ohio and win a handful of championships. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact.
And they're D7.
Yeah, and they're a D7. Mm-hmm. It's just the culture is different. And there are some schools that you have that culture, especially a Catholic school where you can
recruit.
Yeah. Just come out and say it.
Just say the dirty word. The dirty word in football around here.
All right. Yeah. So you got that going for them. And yeah. Like I said, they got River Valley this week, and then they have their non-league week the week after. So they'll play one league game and then go back to the non-league and then finish with five league games. But they play Logan in their non-league game. So that's going to tell us a lot right there.
Yeah.
As in terms of how well they do against Logan, especially if they can come out and beat River Valley.
Yeah.
You know, if they come out and beat River Valley and then handle Logan, then, hey, now I will give them all the credit in the world. They're back to where they were, back to what you thought, back to what everybody thought.
I think they will, too.
But that's fine. But if they lay an egg in Bidwell and then they get beat by Logan and Logan gets their first win of the year against Nelsonville, mm-hmm. then what do you
I mean, obviously, if you're 5 weeks into the season and you're 1-4, you're obviously dropping in the rankings. I just don't see it. I mean, there's talent on that team.
There is a lot of talent.
Absolutely.
There.
So many good players on that Nelsonville roster.
There are.
And, again, you know, you just said it. Their first three games were amazing games.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't know too many TVC teams that come out of it with a better record than they did. You know, so, I mean, I don't know.
I know third or fourth, it probably would be 0-3 right now.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's a tough one. So
I mean, you look at Trimble. The last 2 weeks, they've won 49-6 and 42-0. So, they're not.
Yeah, they're good. We know they're good.
They're good. They're really good.
Well, let's get to Wellston here, the team we save for last every time pretty much. So.
Do we? Is that – I think that's just –
I think it's subconscious.
It is. That's the word I was looking for, too. Yeah, it's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But they played Edina. We know Edina, you know, obviously. Yeah, I think we – to be honest with you, I'm surprised Wellston didn't beat them worse. No, who knows what happens in the game if they called off the dogs towards the end or whatever. I don't know, but – 28-6 is a good win. I honestly, like I said, and I know you thought it.
First road game of the year, too. First road game of the year.
Yes, that's true. So, I don't know. What did you think of it? I mean, I don't know. Where do you put Wellston now after a 28-6 win against Edina?
Well, if you look at Edina's record, they played McLean, they played West Jefferson, who Jackson just absolutely crushed last week, and then they played Wellston. McLean is 1-2. West Jeff's 1-2. Obviously, a little better 1-2 team, better than 1-2.
Yeah.
But they got beat by McLean 34-21, 36-0 against West Jeff, and Wellston wins 28-6 last week. I don't think Edina's very good. I don't know if Edina, hate to say it, but I don't know if they win a game this year. I think they're that down. So the 28-6, which is why I said I thought Wellston was going to score like 60 points.
Yeah, yep.
And that's the reason why I thought Edina was pretty down.
Yeah.
With that said, like I said earlier, you know, my uncle said that Wellston left a lot of points on the board, and I'm going to take his word for it. I don't think he would, you know, muster up any cockamamie stories. So I'm going to take his word for it. I think that's a game that they probably could have put some more points up. But even when you think about it, 28-6, that's a pretty solid win no matter who you're playing.
Yeah,
I mean, only give up one score, and I don't know when they scored. They might have scored, you know, at the end of the game when, you know, you got your reserves in there. So,
and, you know, we know they're a running team. You know, we know Wilson's a running team. So, I mean, 28 points in a running game can
that's
be a
about
lot of points.
Normal. Yep. That's about, well, that's look true. At Fairfield Union, 31.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, they 62-28 over Huntington, 28-6 over Edina. Mm-hmm. They got Portsmouth West next week, and then, like I said, that's their last non-league game, and then they go league games the rest of the year. So, I hate to say the word impressed, but I'm kind of impressed. I am. I gotta give them credit.
I think if you remember last year, and I'll say, and I kind of feel the way you do. I definitely think they're playing better than we thought they were going to play. But do you remember last season? They did the same thing last year. They started out strong. They won their first five games of the season, I think, four games of the season, and then they won one of their last six games, I think. So, I mean, we've seen Wilson start strong, but once they got into TVC play, they kind of got exposed. And, you know, you kind of find out where they were at. So, I don't know. They beat some good teams before they faced, you know, the TVC teams last year. But I'm pretty sure they started out hot last year, too, and ended up not being able to finish. So.
Yeah, you're right. And they had the same exact non-league last year.
Yeah.
They lost to Jackson 41-20, which compared to this year, that was
a good game.
Not bad.
They had Jackson too, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the road. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Huntington, who was not this year's Huntington, which makes it even more impressive. Mm-hmm. They beat Huntington last year 48-12. They beat Edina 32-9, and they beat Portsmouth West 46-6. Now those teams went Jackson 11-2, they lost. Huntington 1-9. Edina went 6-4 last year, and they beat them 32-9. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
And then Portsmouth West, they beat 46-6, and Portsmouth West finished last year at 4-6. But I see what you're saying. They did start 3-1, mm-hmm. and then they lost Alexander, who we know what they did last year, took the league by surprise, and won a playoff game for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And then they lose to River Valley 15-0, and at that point, River Valley was kind of came out of nowhere too.
Yeah,
it was kind of like them and Alexander was really the two big surprises of the year. Yep. Then they beat Nelsonville, who was just
awful,
free falling.
Yeah, they were just in debacle by
46-20. Mm-hmm. But here's one thing that you got to take into consideration here. They were just a couple plays away from actually finishing with an above 500 record because they lost to Athens. Mm-hmm. In overtime.
Close game, which shocked a lot of us because that was after everybody knew who Saltzman was, too.
That was after Athens was putting up all kinds of points.
Yeah.
Well, they still did. They won 50-42, but it was in overtime.
Yeah.
And then they lose against Meigs in the last home game of the year, 50-38. So they only lose by 12 to Meigs, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah.
And then we all know what happened last year at MacArthur when they were down 23-0 at the half.
Yes.
And we held on to win.
Yeah, and
they only scored 12 points.
And
so look at that. But just and this kind of surprises me. The River Valley week, I think that was the week where we had all the rain that came through and nobody scored any points. They lost 15-0.
We were at Alexander that week. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost 20-7.
It was just a close game because of weather.
7-0 at halftime, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay, anyways, look at the points that they scored. 20, 48, 32, 46, 20, 46, 42, 38, and then 12 against Vinton County.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's wrap this up.
Wow.
We'll wrap this part up, go to commercial, come back, we'll do our player of the week.
Welcome back to the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting, with two locations in Albany and Jackson. Call them at 698-3521 and 286-8936. Lugs, it's the coveted VCVikings.com Player of the Week.
We need to throw some music in there, don't we?
We do. Like thunder or something.
Yeah.
Like thunder and a big
symbol. Yes.
All right, who we got? Who is on the roster?
Okay. Week three, like I said, it was a crazy week for us. Week three, our first candidate for player of the week was Kaysen Collins. Six solo tackles, two assisted tackles. He had seven tackles total. Defensive tackle is why he made the list to vote on. Like I said, we say all the time, defensive tackles really aren't meant to get tackles a lot. That is an amazing game for a defensive tackle to pull seven tackles down in a game. Kid was all over the field, did a great job on defense, you know.
Especially and against the line that Fairfield Union, you know, had.
Yeah.
That makes it even more impressive.
Exactly, because they really owned us most of the game there.
Yeah, he was just shedding people left and right. And had good ball awareness, I guess. You know, he kind of knew where the ball was. Yeah. And maybe that was a little bit to do with, you know, maybe watch some film. Maybe, you know, mm-hmm. he kind of seen some things. Maybe they were tipping some things off that he caught on to. But, yeah, it was a very, very well-played game.
Yeah, and we got beat in the 4 and 6 holes, but he's in the A-gaps. And that's the right. A-gaps were shut down for most mm-hmm. of the night, you know. So, I mean, yeah, he did a great job.
Yep.
Our number two candidate, Hunter Nichols. 5 carries, 61 yards, and 1 touchdown last week. 3 receptions, 12 yards, 6.5 tackles with 1 broken up tackle. Hunter is – you don't always get to see everything he does on the field through the stats. I mean, this kid is playing on the offense almost every play, on the defense almost every play. Last week he would have been player of the week if it wasn't for Nathan Yates just going nuts. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, breaking records, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter's had an amazing game last week. And
has he been on the list every week so far?
I think he has been on the list every week, yes.
Yeah,
every week.
But he's never got it.
Yes, he's
but he's been on the list.
Yeah, every single week, man. He's like the Vargas of
I was going to say Mark Martin because he never did win a championship.
That's our NASCAR reference for this episode there. Good job.
So, it's the second time we've dropped the word NASCAR, baby.
But let me just say for Hunter, you know, this kid is doing everything he's asked on the field. You know, he really is. And I know we had the thing this, you know, like I even said earlier about, you know, he almost got kicked out. Down somehow got him back in the game.
Yeah.
Comes back in the game and runs a 68-yard touchdown. And this is the second week in a row we've seen it. Remember last week he had a big touchdown. It was only like 25 yards.
Yeah, I went back and watched that on film, and it was nice.
It was a nice run.
Heck of a run.
The kid, and again, this is his first year being in the offensive side of the ball for the most part. He is, I mean, doing everything on the field you can ask a kid to do, everything. I mean, the kid can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He can play defense. He can tackle. He can cover. He can play special teams. The kid can do
all.
I mean, he's really filling a lot of positions for us. So, I mean, props to the kid for that.
Well, the one thing that impresses me the most about last week with Hunter was, like I said earlier, the fact that he showed so much heart.
Yes.
You know, when everything kind of went crazy there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And to me, that meant more than that long touchdown run. I mean, that to me was awesome.
Exactly. So. It was really, really good. So.
Just wanted to throw that out.
Yep. Okay. And our number three candidate for this week, Jaden Spires, a freshman wide receiver.
Freshman wide receiver.
Freshman. He had 2 receptions for 59 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 kick returns for 68 yards, a long of 42 yards on one of them. Big return that he had, too. It was an amazing job. And again, last week, this kid could have been MVP, too. I mean, He had 7 receptions, I think, 59 yards. I mean, close to breaking the record. It's just, you know, Lincoln Hayes and what all they did and stuff is just crazy. So, Jaden as a freshman, really each week is getting better and better and better, and he's really starting to become part of the offense, and he's catching more balls. He's showing more confidence. The 47-yard touchdown catch was just awesome. I mean, that was a heck of a catch he had there. Got thrown out of the game, obviously, in the third quarter, you know. So, I mean, if we want to say one bad thing, but, hey, I always love seeing a freshman stand up for himself. Now, we don't want to ever see him thrown out of a game. He has to be suspended for the next game. But as a freshman and what he's doing right now, he's really stepping up and he's playing well. So, 2 receptions, 59 yards, and a touchdown. I believe that's his first touchdown of the season. Don't quote me on that, but I think it is. Has he got another touchdown?
I think that is his first one.
Okay, I'm not sure. We might have to look that up. We'll so don't quote us on that one. But either way, so okay. Players of the week, Kaysen Collins, Hunter Nichols, Jaden Spires are our candidates. This week's player of the week, week number 3, goes to Hunter Nichols.
Right, Hunter Nichols.
Well deserving of it, man. I mean, he's been so close every week and he deserved it. Absolutely. So
finally broke through. You know what surprises me, Lugs?
Yeah.
Is the fact that we've not had a repeat yet. There's been so many different.
Yes, which is kind of cool, right? I mean, it is.
You would think, especially on a team, you know, that's 0-3, and it's struggling a little bit. Not,
yes.
It's not like, you know, we went over this before. We're not that, we're not terrible.
Yes.
So don't get me started on that again. Anyways, with a team like that, you normally have, you know, 2-3 guys that carry you every week. And
yes.
It seems like there's different names on there every single week. And we had a different winner every single week, which is good for us.
Yeah.
You know, that way we show no favoritism here because we're not.
Yeah, it's
a,
exactly.
This is a complete unbiased vote,
yes.
voting system that we have to determine this. But, yeah, it's awesome that we've had – and that just tells you the versatile – you know, offense that we have and how we can get everybody out into space. And I think we said it last week of how, you know, with this offense we have and it's allowing these skilled players to show off what they have, you know. Whereas before, you know, if you didn't run the ball or we rarely passed, but if you weren't a running back, you weren't really getting, you know, a whole lot of numbers. So,
yeah.
Because that was primarily what we did, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just – this way, you know, you can only hand the ball off to one guy, maybe two if you got two in the backfield.
Yeah.
But if you've got five wide receivers out here, you got your pick.
Yeah. A lot of guys doing a lot of things.
A lot
right
of different
now.
Names you yep. can get out there. So
super
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Good
yeah.
job. Week 3. Player
okay.
of the week.
Yeah, congratulations, Hunter. Well deserved. Like I said, I'm glad he finally got it. But probably won't be the last time.
No. Well, you never know. We might have 7 different more coming out.
Yeah.
Which would be fine with me.
Yeah, spread the love, man.
That's right.
Spread the love.
All right,
yeah.
What we're going to do this week is if you read the link to the podcast, what we will do is we will have 2 shows because we like to talk about a lot of nonsense and we take a lot of time doing this. So what we're going to do is we're going to have 2 episodes. We will have 1 episode that you're going to hear on Monday. We will release Monday at 7 o'clock just like normal. It's going to be the wrap-up show. We'll come up with a fancy name for it, but it's going to be pretty much just a wrap-up show. We'll talk about the previous game. We'll talk about the previous week in the league. We'll talk about our pick 'em results and maybe throw a couple other things in there. But it's mainly going to be oriented towards the wrap-up of the previous week. And then what we're going to do is since we like to talk a lot and we don't want – you know, we obviously know that it's hard for you people to sit down and listen to an hour and 45 minutes of us babbling on about Vinton County football. We're going to try to break this up into 2 shows and hopefully have them within an hour, under an hour each show. That way it's more convenient for you. It's more convenient for us. It's more convenient for everyone. You're not using as much data each time, whatever. So here we're gonna break it up into 2 shows. Now, we're going to release the second show. We're going to try to have it out on Thursday at noon.
Yes.
Thursday early afternoon, noon, early afternoon, whenever.
Yeah.
We will get it out there. That way you can listen to the pregame portion. We'll have the preview of that week's game. We'll have the preview of the week in the league. And we'll do our pick'em, rapid-fire pick'ems. And
yes.
we will, if we have a – well, I guess it doesn't really matter. We can either have a – if we have more guests, which we will, we can either have them on the Monday or Thursday show. But we'll figure that out. Later on, but it'll be more oriented towards
yes.
the upcoming week.
Yep.
So we'll have a post game show, pretty much like a post game show, and then we'll have like a pregame show on Monday and on Thursday.
Yep.
So until Thursday, hopefully everybody has a good Monday. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday.